The Revival Hub International is a network of believers with a desire to establish the kingdom of our Lord through intense working of the Holy Spirit.
I have heard with my life. I must be another witness. I will continue to journey. Every day I will groan and pray until I'm thwarted.
Join Apostle Edu Udetiku for a life-changing encounter as we journey in the Spirit.
Jesus' name. You can be seated. Decide what to do, even if you are telling him, he will still be. This song is the song for the guitar man, but I'm not sure he prayed today. I even have to go and beg him to pray. He didn't pray. So I went to beg him. Go and ask him. He's your brother. All these people I'm going around to beg to pray. One day you will come and beg me to pray for you, and I will do guy too. I don't be walking around, I will see some guys, they are looking down on what we are doing. And you are here. Stop coming. You're wasting your time. Don't come one day and come and say you want to see me. Sorry, maybe you remove it from streaming. I will not see you. You are not praying. You are not. You are here to probably see me, and you saw where I'm praying, and you are not praying. Are you a magician? Who are you? Stop coming. Are you paying me? You don't want to pray, you are hanging around. Stop coming now. Who invited you? Tell the person you have seen the place and you don't like it. This is not church. This is not your church. This is an apostolic center. The training is supposed to be like this. It's not supposed to meet you where you are. You are supposed to meet it where it is. I won't see you. The way I see people is that I will come and be watching you. For I've seen that you are serious. That, in case you don't know, that's the way I do it. Then I will not. Because what are you looking for? We will still come back to prayer. Whatever you come to tell me, we will still what? Come back to prayer. Why not learn prayer first? Then you will now tell you what to pray about. You have not even learned prayer, and then you are thinking of what to pray. Okay. Anyway. Even if you beg me, I will pray for you. I will, so that you will not disturb me. I will just say, in Jesus' name, oh, Father, so that I will know the people I'm laboring over. You know, this kind of message is the one that Jesus preached, and the number of his people reduced. Is good. Number without impact. Number is good. I encourage number as long as there is impact. You enter a place they are not praying, it's not revival hub, go. Find another place. Even if they use what's this neon light? What is this new advert light that they use now? Who knows the name? LED. They now put it, it's shining. And they say revival hub and fire is on it. They did stage design and fire is coming out of it like this. And smoke is coming and they are not praying, run. It can be another place, but it's not revival hub. Sometimes it's when you pray that you know your prayer point. You are overestimating yourself. You are proud to think you actually know what is your issue. Sometimes your issue is that you can't pray. That's your issue. The real issue is that you can't pray. Because if you can pray, your issue will go. So just because the knowledge of your problem is not the problem. The problem is that you don't have the knowledge of your solution. Come and ask some people, are you praying? Come and tell me, Apostle, I've prayed. I've fasted, I've prayed. You are not praying. You are not praying. You are just hanging around. Sorry, hanging around. And you carry your hand and put on it and say you are praying. Don't worry. When you are anointing finished, they look for another person. If you like, don't teach them how to pray. Once you see people that don't want to pray, they don't want the word, they don't want to fast, they are professional church members. They are there because they sense anointing and power. When you are through, they leave you and find another person. Don't pity. Don't be sentimental. Let the person go. My friend, this is a training center. My first duty is not to solve your problem. My first duty is to solve you. When we are through with solving you, your problem will become a consequence of solving you. And believe it or not, some of your problem we can come and say, in the name of Jesus, stop. And it will stop.
But we need to, there is a reason why God allowed it. Sometimes God allowed it so that you will learn how to pray. You refused. He refused to go. Going from one fake prophet to another. You want to add me to the number of the places you have gone. And you won't add me. I will not allow you. So, if you don't like what I just said now, maybe next time, don't come. Let my work reduce. In the name of Jesus. Amen. The people that are sent to me, stay, you will make it. That one, I can assure you 100%. There is nobody that genuinely follows me that will not make it in everything, both spiritually, financially, everything. Many of you know me many years ago, and you know me now. You know that the difference is like light and darkness. So in case you are thinking, how do we know? I'm here as a living proof in a small measure. There is nothing now that you can, anything about human life that you can come and say, what of this? No, none, not one. LJB, if you don't like what I'm saying now, why may I go on age and answer? All these, my choir people, they refuse to pray today. You have to go and be supervising them. It's not just training. Once I notice it, I will not talk to them. It's you that I'll be using the bulala on you, because you are the one that I know. They must master the ministry of life. It's not singing. You must master the ministry of life. Ministry is life. Master it. And when you are interested in the ministry of life, you will know that if they call you to minister on an exalted altar, our altar is down physically, but it's a high altar. Many times if you stand here, you struggle. Not because you don't have anything, but because is already high in the spirit. That's your problem. Imagine where my sister Naka finished leading prayer and they now gave you mic to come and sing. Don't you know you will drop it? Are you not bothered? Are you not bothered that Ugochukwu can finish leading prayer and they give you mic to sing? That's what happened in many places. The thing will now drop. Some of them will now off the thing. They can't carry on. You don't know the ministry of life. I'm not saying you are praying, you are trying. But, God, your best is not enough. You ask some people, they say, just because your name is best doesn't mean. Just because your name is best doesn't mean that's the best, that God, you are not there. When you master the ministry of life, you will refuse to settle for less. I tell you. When you speak, sing, pray, study, and life is not coming out from it, you will be crying. Master this. This is the basis of ministry. The basis of ministry is that you have mastered how to dispense life. That's ministry. Life. That's what our soul, our spirit thirsts for Christ for. When you hear me, sometimes you can even forget what I said, but you cannot forget what he did to you, what happened to you. Because it is life that is communicated. You must master life. Ministry is life. And the principle of generating life in ministry is priesthood. The reason why God set up different principles in the scripture, disciplines in the scripture as pathways of priesthood, is so that you cannot come and hang on one and say that this is the only way. No. Sometimes you will notice that you will need to pray so that your study life will be robust. And sometimes you notice that you will need to study so that your prayer life will be robust.
Sometimes you need to notice that you need to fast, you need to wash, so that you don't go and hang on one and say, is this one that is about this one? No. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's only normal that if you pray well and study well, when you lead worship, it will be more powerful. It will be full of life. It's only normal. It's only normal that sometimes for you to pray very well, you will need some worship. Is it not true? In the background. It's only normal. Meanwhile, we can say, we have used chat and text message. God has used us to use chat and text message to do miracles, wonders, all kinds of things, of which many of you are witnesses. They refused, one of our sisters, they refused giving her results. She just chatted me. She has told me many times. I did not respond. She now told me yesterday afternoon. I just sent her a message. My God intervened in the matter, in Jesus' name. They released her result in 1 hour.
Wait. Don't clap. I want you to weep. The reason why you need to weep is because this is what people celebrate. God is celebrating the impact of. When you prayed and something happened, you are celebrating the result you got. God is celebrating the fact that you can now pray. That's what you are celebrating is different from what heaven is celebrating. You are celebrating how God delivered you. God is celebrating what the process of deliverance did to you. You are celebrating the deliverance. He's celebrating what the process did to you. As you want God to use you to do things, God wants to do something to you. You want God to. That's why we are here. You want God to use you to do things. He wants to do something to you first. It is only people that he has done something to that he can do something to. What has he done to you? Oh God, use me like. He has to do something to you. Do something to you to the point that you say, I don't want to do again. I beg. Leave me. Let me find another thing and do. They will now say, now you are ready. The same Moses that left and said, when they finished dealing with Moses, Moses was giving excuse after excuse. Any excuse he gives, God will answer it. Any excuse he gives, God will answer it. Any excuse he gives, God will answer it. He is giving excuses on how he no more ministry now. For example, I went to choir screening. They screened me out. So now I should rest. Go and rest now. Now lie. It means that at this measure, something is missing. Take it up as a challenge. When you pray well in the spirit, they will still be ringing that bell. Lift up your hand and say, Father, do something to me. Do something. Make it a prayer in 30 seconds. Do something to me. What did you do to Paul? What did you do to Paul? What did you do to Charles Finney? What did you do to Maria Woodward Etta? A woman will stand at one point and pray and suspend by immortal powers. What did you do to Mommy Etta? Do to me. What did you do to Charles Grandison Finney? What did you do to Edward McKendry Barnes? What did you do to them? What did you do to Alonzo Allen? What did you do to them?
What did you do to Derek Prince? David Parson? What did you do to them? Do to me. And may God answer your prayer as you pray. Keep praying. I didn't say stop. All this, why? All the time you are waiting for them to end prayer. That's why you are not having results in prayer. When you start prayer, you are waiting to end. Is the end of the prayer the answer? When you stop prayer is when answer has come. Not that you have prayed. Not just that you have prayed. What did you do to Captain Kuman? What did you do to Jonathan Edwards? What did you do to Andrew Murray? What did you do to John Tilek? In Jesus' name. These are mighty men that walk. What did God do to them? Did they sound? John Lake was a lawyer by profession. He was a lawyer by profession. He healed so much that the city of Washington gave him a certificate. They gave him the document. They gave him the certification you give a doctor. That's how much John healed. God used him so much that he believes that there is an exact procedure to procure a cure for any ailment. When you come to his healing room, he doesn't send you away. He keeps you there. They minister to you the way they minister to patients in hospital. That's the exact thing in his heart that motivated him to start his healing rooms, because he believes that the spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus is able to kill anything that comes from death. Huh? That's what he believes. Because when he was praying, when his sister was about to die, it was Acts chapter 10 verse 38 that opened. And the Bible says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of who? The devil. He says, so it's Satan that is actually causing sickness. And he thought it's another breakout of, and his influenza, his flu that came, it's not flu. Huh? It's not flu. He said that them that are oppressed of the devil. He said, so sicknesses are actually motivated by Satan. That when we go along the path of the afflictions that bedevil men, we will find one demon or the other. John Lake, he began to study healing as if it's a course of study. He healed so much that they called him Dr. John G. Lake. But what he studied in school was legal profession. The healthiest city was given to Spokane because of John G. Lake. When John G. Lake is through with training you, he sent you. When he sends you to heal people, he will tell you don't come back until the person is healed. It's not that you go and say that we tried, it didn't work. Do to me. Huh? When you want to carry what a man has, don't ask for the man to ask for the dealing. Ask for what he passed through. That's why we are teaching this. When you pass through the same thing, it is natural that your vessel will retain the capacity to carry such a thing. Even if it is not this, it will be navigating towards carrying such matter, such heavy things. You are running away from heavy dealing. You want to carry heavy things. It is not possible. You just want to know. You will be useful according to the way you have retained usability, and you have decided to receive the soft things, you will carry the weak things. Men that want to carry heavy things, they go where the weight is highest. I tell you, this is the prayer I made many years ago, and I didn't mean it. But years passed, and God took me serious. Because I was on a retreat, and I asked God, where the labor is hardest, put me there. Years passed, and he took me to the place of groaning. I thought he didn't mean it. I thought God will forget what he said before. He didn't forget. Because when you make decrees, heaven is looking for men that can carry heavy things. That we have such a desire, such a burning desire, such hunger and desperation that they are willing to go however far it takes. That's why we bring this teaching. So that a fire will burn to eternity in your heart. You are willing to go far enough. No, they are petting you all the time. They are pushing you to pray. You are not ready. The people that are in this class are men that are praying long enough, fasting long enough, they are studying long enough, and they are asking God, Lord, what else do I need to do? Now, those are the people we are calling in this class. Not men that they are still begging to pray, still they are still pushing you, pampering you. You are not ready. You are not ready. Go and sit at the children class. This is a class for men.
Why?
Father, I ask you, not the hearts and faces of men that genuinely seek you. Let their names be enlisted. There is a recruitment. There is an enlistment. Force your name there. Don't just be idle and hoping that this, oh my God.
I approve
in Jesus' mighty name. No man just appears. One of the things that motivated me to begin to press into God in a deeper dimension was when I listened to that man, Reverend David Ogbede. He said that when people travel for Christmas, travel for holidays, they come back 2 or 3 weeks before other students come back, and they climb to Vet Mountain and they will be fasting. They will fast it 2 weeks after people have come back and school have started. He said, when they come back from that mountain, they will be in charge of the campus. Things don't just happen. When I heard it, I said, no more Christmas for me. My siblings are here. For 2 Christmas, I didn't come back. I said, I must touch God. So, you want to leave Sabo without touching anything? Where do you make men, oh God? Where is that location? Where do you make men? And suddenly they arise as a giant. Where is that? Where are giants cooked? Oh my God. Princes of power. Princes of authority. Men that their operational base is in the heavenlies. They command power with the constellations. Women, strong in might. Women, they receive their death back to life because of the things that they have with God. So strong, so robust. Men like Joshua, he will stand and say, let the sun stand still until I have my victory over my enemies. Such a man, where do you make them? Take me there. Take me there. For he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow. There is a location in God called the shadow. When a man emerges from there, oh my God, the Bible says that John was in the wilderness until the place, the time of his showing forth. Where are them, babe? Where was John cooked? Is he a physical location? That is a location in the Almighty. It is called the secret place. When a man finds himself there, he tabernacles, he stays, he waits, he tarries until God comes. And suddenly, out of that place, he emerges a giant, a voice, a force, an energy. Complain one more time in a generation, and men will look upon him and say, one more time, God has raised a voice for us. We are men, men. Take me there. Hey, hey, hey. is a tornado. It is a move from heaven. The move of God is about to catch up with you. If only you can cry, here I am. Use me, Lord. Aha. Siloteri mama, amenota ilinete. When Maria Woodward Etta came to Hartford City, she came to Hartford City and found out that the people are already giving away to the world. And she said, Lord, give me a few prayer partners. Maria Woodward Etta. They locked themselves in a room and began to cry to God. They said, Lord, let your power move into the streets. All this power you have that can't move into the street is too watery. He said, let your power walk into the street like a man that is moving. When they finished praying, the Bible said, the story said that when they gathered, the move of God became so strong that people didn't come to the meeting because they want to hear them. They came to the meeting to mock them. But when they came, the hand of God was so strong that if you want to mock, your mouth will be like this. You do, and it will not change. Some group of young men left the city and they went far to another city to have a party. When they were in the party, the Holy Ghost fell there and they began to speak in tongues without a preacher. You are talking too much. Ask God to make you. When He makes you, you will talk less and achieve more. Here I am. Oh my God. Here I am. For who shall go for us, and whom shall we send? I did not know what it takes. If I want to go for meetings, I will pray for 30 minutes and tell God, do signs and wonders in this meeting. Oh, let your hand move, let things happen. Brothers and sisters, nothing happened. With my 1 hour prayer and 2 hours prayer, I was expecting the whole heaven to fall down. I will be walking arrogantly into the meeting, expecting God to leave His throne and come and answer to my little prayer. Meanwhile, you don't know that there are men that have locked themselves inside the room for the last 7 days and they have refused to see the sun until God sees them. The only light that they want to beam on their face is not the light of the sun, it's the light of the glory of God. When they knock on their door, they refuse to open. They say, food will not enter my mouth. I will not take any pleasure until the glory of heaven beams on my soul. And you are walking around hoping that God will use you. You are not a serious man. Listen to me. I was listening to one of his pastors, and he was telling us what the man normally do. He said those days that he was in the campus, that they used to have a campus-wide meeting in UNN.
Huh? That one of those days, he was supposed to minister. Are you with me? He was supposed to minister tomorrow evening. He just came in this evening and then locked himself in his hotel room. He knocked for him outside. He was outside. Knocked for him and said, "Pastor, your food is here." He did not answer. What he was hearing is prayer, sound, worship inside, Bible study. He was listening. He was listening from the door. He was listening. He said the thing changed his life. Because you can be carnally thinking that people just appear. You look at them and you say, "One time I will be like this. After 2 years I will be like this." Your head will be dry. Men don't just appear. They labor. They laid hold on heavy things in the spirit. It is pride for you not to lower yourself down and find out what makes men, so that when they appear, they become princes of power. Men that God will lay hold on, and their voice will thunder. Thunder from water to water, sea to sea, nation to nation. Listen to me, listen. When his pastor stayed there, the man stayed all night. He was hearing prayer movement in the room. So he knew the man was awake. Tomorrow morning, he knocked for him and said, "Pastor, they have brought breakfast." Nobody answered him. Things were still going on. Things were happening. In the afternoon, he knocked and said, "Pastor, lunch is here." He did not answer him. Huh? By evening, he told him, "Pastor, it's 5. And prayer and worship. Opening prayer have started. Pastor, are you not ready? Let's go." He did not answer him. Around 8 p.m., he knocked and said, "Pastor, it's your time." He knocked and he said, "Who is it?" He said, "It's me." He said, "Pastor, it's your time to minister." The man said, "I'm coming." When he was through, he staggered out of the room. Kashka! "Don't leave me like this. Don't leave me. Don't leave me. Don't leave me. Don't leave me, oh God. Help me, sister, my God. Hide the mess." I know that. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hello, hello, hello.
Listen to me. So, listen. When he finished the meeting, listen to me. When he finished, the man came out of the room. And then, he entered the car. And his pastor carried him in the car. He said for the first time, he understood what happened to the children of Israel when Moses came out. Because it was the ark that came out. The ark. You will think you are carrying a human being in the vehicle. What you don't know is that you are carrying a mobile ark. Make me heavy. Make me heavy. Make me heavy. Make me heavy. When they throw you on the scales, your weight can bring down nations. I refuse to end like this. When he carried the man, he said his whole body was vibrating. The glory of God was so much inside the vehicle that he was managing to drive from CEC to Eboref. It is not too far, but the glory of God was so much that he was asking God to help him to drive the vehicle. He was carrying an ark. He was not a man. He said as soon as he carried the man and he entered the hall, the man just took the mic and sang a song. Cripples began to walk. Blind eyes began to see. The power of God, who were falling under power everywhere, including pastors. He said, he stood aside and said, what is this? What is this? If you don't ask questions, you won't go far. What is this? Is this a normal man? How can my fellow man carry God so much that he doesn't talk, but there is communication going on? Listen to me. When I heard that thing, I said, God, if this is possible, I must enter it. I can't tell you our own testimonies. No, I can't tell you that. It's that some of you have seen some of it. Many of the things that God has used us to do, you will not believe it if we tell you. It's not the ones on camera. That's not the real one. Okay, let me tell you one. One day, me and David, where is David? Where is David? Me and David was going to a club. You were there now. Ask him. Get mic for him. Let him say what happened. Get mic so that it wouldn't be me. Get mic. Be fast. Get mic. He was serving me. Get mic. Get mic. God must use you. Where is my oil? Where is my mantle? Where is my crown? Where is my scepter? Where is my office? What does it take to enter there?
Jesus.
Mighty. You can be seated. Let's go back to our teaching. You can be seated. Join me in 3 minutes. So we have been able to go through the first matter. The first matter is the matter of the what? The matter of the what? The second matter is the matter of the what? So we are able to touch a few things concerning these two matters. The third matter we will consider today is the matter of competence and skill. The matter of competence and skill. And we will look at it under probably 3 or 4 subtopics. If you are with me so far, say amen. Amen. Do you know how to play that our chant? Try, let me see. For now. Consider under competence and skill is knowledge. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15 is a popular place that everybody know. The first price a man pays to be used by God is the price of relevant knowledge. Write it down. The first price a man pays to be used by God is the price of relevant knowledge. Many times the knowledge in this context is in books. Many times the knowledge is in teachings. Many times the knowledge is in relationships. It can be in many places. The host of the knowledge can vary. But what is important is the knowledge. I hope you know that the knowledge you need to execute your calling might not be in book. You don't know. It can be in people. There are things you can learn from people you will never learn from any book. One of the advantages of listening to people and learning from people is that many times the knowledge they have concerning a matter is a compressed dimension. In other words, part of the things that they are dishing out to you might take you. Are you with me? It might take you the next 5 years for you to actually come to the point where you can properly interact with that layer of knowledge. I mean, you are studying. Let's assume you are studying. And the person gives it to you, especially in such a way that he is able to bring out to you the key points that can enable you to still make progress in your journey till the day that full understanding has been furnished to you. I hope you know that you can know things, but the full understanding has not come, but it doesn't limit function. It might take you 5 years for you to fully understand what is actually happening. But it didn't stop the thing to start happening. Now imagine if you did not encounter such knowledge, it will mean that there will be no entrance. So the little exposure you have... Oh, I'm moving too fast.
So the little exposure to that knowledge will allow you to start functioning in it, and it will give you advantage. See, there are people that didn't speak in tongues, not because they didn't want to, they didn't hear it. Is it not in your Bible? Is it not in your Bible? Let me show you. There are things people did not enter into, not because they didn't want to. They didn't even know that such a thing exists.
Acts chapter 19, verse 2. Let's read it together. 1, 2, ready, go. What is the problem here? They said that we have not even heard that there is such a thing as the Holy Ghost. So the limitation in their function is as a result of the fact that they are not exposed to certain knowledge. I'm telling you, some people are limited because they don't know that some things actually exist in God. So the knowledge is the first price that is paid. At least you know that it exists. And in many times, knowledge also tells you how to lay hold on it. Are you getting the point? Look at what the Bible said here. He said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believe? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any what? Holy Ghost. These people, they don't know that there is such a thing as Holy Ghost, whatever, power, speaking in tongues, manifestation of the gift. They don't know those things. They just believed in Jesus and they are going on. They don't know that the riches of the things that are bound in the new life cannot be fully exhausted in this life. And you enter into them to the measure that you have known. You don't know, you can't enter. You have changed your sitting location. Is it because of what I said? Huh? You don't know, you don't. There are some people that will see us the way we pray. They don't believe that people actually pray like this. Talk more of... Some people ask us, is there such a place like this in this name, and they are not aware? And we have stayed for years. They don't know. What's the problem? You don't know, you don't know. And just because you don't know, you are not with me. Okay, God will say you don't know. So since you don't know, let's make a special accommodation, special arrangement for people that don't know. You know, those days they used to say what you don't know will not kill you, what you don't know will not stop. The reason why you are here is things you don't know. If you have known as much as you ought, many things will not happen. It is one of your major prayers that God should expose you to relevant and present truth. What did I say? Relevant and present truth. What did I say? Relevant and present truth. There are people that will hear about the truth that can power the move of God in a generation when the move is almost over. They joined it late. You are not getting what I'm saying. There are people, are you with me, that can stay in this same neighborhood with us? They will never hear about this thing until the next 10-15 years. Huh? Where everywhere is crowded, there will be too much people that you can't even... Even if I want to meet you one-on-one, I cannot, except I want to die. Are you getting the point? Huh? That's how... But now, they didn't even hear it. And they are somewhere crying and praying to God. God, when will you send? When will you do this? When will you do this? What you are praying for God to do is already happening somewhere. But you didn't know. It's knowledge. Look at this person. You come and ask somebody certain way. They tell you, is it even possible? Does this kind of thing exist? The problem is knowledge. Say after me, knowledge. Let me say it one more time. The first price you pay to be used by God is the price of knowledge. The first price you pay to be used by God, you must pay the price to know something. You must pay the price to know something. And I added relevant knowledge. You know why? Some people actually are reading and listening, but they are filling themselves with garbage that they don't need. The implication is that you will know so much and become very little. Because the knowledge is not consistent with what God wants to do in your life or what God is doing in a generation. Listen to me now. That is why I said
Are you with me? I said relevant and present truth. There is such a thing as what? Present truth. Every of the revelation of the mind of God that is captured within the boundaries of the scripture is actually truth. But you need to know, are you with me? That there is such a thing as present truth. According to the unveilings that God did through the life of Paul in the book of Ephesians, one of the things that we understood from there is that there are dispensations that captures the administrations of God. The Bible said in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 verse 10, he said that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, it means that God decided that this administration will be captured in a particular dispensation, and the name of the dispensation is what? Fullness of time. That means when you enter, if you are found within the dispensation of the fullness of time, that there are certain characters that should define the operations that you should submit to. In other words, if you submit to, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
If you submit to other truths, they are good, but it means that the administration that governs a dispensation, you will not enter it. Because there is a truth that allows men access to such administration. And the name of that truth is present truth. What you know is correct, but it is not present truth. It doesn't capture, are you with me?
Yes,
it doesn't capture the mind of God for the now. Huh? Men that have the word of God in their mind, their mouth, that captures the mind of God for the now, they are prophets, even if they teach. They are prophetic teachers. When they teach, they are actually communicating the present truth. It means your entrance into what they are saying will bring you into the economy that captures God's administration. You will just see yourself entering into new layers of grace, operations, functions. Just because you heard a man talk, it means, are you with me, that the man has entered into the economy of the present truth, and God can do anything to sponsor that. Meanwhile, there are other things that you are laboring to know. And many times, when people labor to know truths that are not relevant and consistent with the project of God for now, one of the things they do is that they become insecure when God is sponsoring truths that are present. Because what God wants to sponsor is what? Truths that are present. There are truths, yes. Are they truths? Yes. Are they the word of God? Yes. Are they fundamentally relevant to what God wants to do now? Maybe no. So you will notice that the people that God is consistently sponsoring, you will do something small in that direction and it will increase. Why? That is the present emphasis of heaven. That is the truth of God that captures the economy that can sponsor the will of God within a dispensation. What God wants to do within a dispensation, if we enter into this truth, it will release something into our heart. And we'll be able to become and do what God wants to do. Are you getting the point? Other things are good. Paul went as far as saying that God hid this thing before now and decided to reveal it in this time through his holy prophets and what? Apostles. Meaning that the project of God, even if we wanted to enter into it before, we cannot. But now, he is bringing men and empowered them by diverse graces to become the vehicles and administrators on behalf of Christ in such matters. Some of them teach it, some of them evangelize it, some of them administrate it in many ways. But the exact reality that is captured in what they are doing is a representation of the present truth of God. And the entrance into such truth will release an economy in our hearts. And such economy is what God ordained to run his project within this season. So if you don't enter into a present truth, and you know everything, are you with me? I'm not against reading every book and listening to every people. Please listen so that you will know something. But knowing something is not what we are after. How much will you know in your lifetime? You have to be humble enough to admit that even if you read every hour, every day, you will not know half as much as you are supposed to know. Who will you read and who wouldn't you read? Are you getting the point? Is it Charles Spurgeon that you will read? How long will it take you to finish Charles Spurgeon in such a way that you understood everything he's saying?
Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes,
sir. Say after me, present truth. So the first price you pay to be used by God is the price of what? Knowledge confers on you competence. There is an authority with which a man speaks if he has knowledge. You remember the story of Jesus. Is it not true? Even from the time that he was young, the age of 12, he is discussing with the doctors of law the things pertaining to the scriptures. When he manifested his ministry, the Bible began to say that men testify and say that this man's doctrine, after me, this man's doctrine is different from that of the scribes and the Pharisees. Why was it different? What was the difference? If you know the answer, raise your hand. Let me point you. What's the difference? What's the difference? It's authority. That's what they perceive is authority. But what conferred authority is the present truth. So you are correct, but if I accept you, technically somebody can question me. And there is a lot of people following us. Some people are carrying big Bible and jotter and everything, following us like this. And they are analyzing everything I'm saying. That's why, are you getting the point? But if outside of this place, I will accept your answer. They said, this man spake with what? Authority. Why? He has encountered the exact emphasis of God and the way he speaks. In fact, the Bible said, how know this man letters? Okay, how did he say it? Can you find this, that scripture for me? Oh my God. Go and sit beside your person now so that the two of you will put head to head together. I need to find that scripture. Huh? Where? John chapter 7 verse 15. Show me. John 7 15. Sorry, we are doing this. It's important you know it. Aha! Show me the verse before that. Oh my God. Now, until halfway through the feast, did Jesus go up to the temple courts and began to what? Begin to teach. The Jews were amazed and asked, what? Give me KJV. I like the way KJV. The KJV own is heavy. My God. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man what? Letters. Say after me, letters. How knoweth this man letters, having never learned? The Jews marveled. When a man is a custodian of present truth, it will seem as if you know more than your mates. Huh? They can even be using many things. No, it's present truth. Present truth. Present truth, because when you encounter present truth, God will sponsor it with so much authority that it will differentiate itself from every other thing that people are saying. Are you with me? The difference is not exactly in the words. The difference is in the authority. And the authority is as a result of the fact that you are presently speaking what God is speaking. Huh? That you are presently an oracle of God. The Bible said in the book of, I think, 2 Peter, said, let him that speak as what? The oracles of God. Give me my scripture. Are you actually checking your time? Speak in tongues. You are thinking of what you will eat after this service. Hey! When last did you do 3 days fasting? Huh? This thing I said, is it a question? Is it a suggestion? I'm not suggesting to him. There is a question that God will come and ask you. He doesn't have answer. You know the answer, but he doesn't have answer. Okay, since you want to answer me, somebody find mic for him so that... When last did you do 3 days dry fasting? November last year. Okay, get back to my scripture in the book of, not Ephesians, 2 Timothy. Let's read it together. 1, 2, ready, go. Let's read it one more time. Let's read it one more time. Knowledge is your first limitation. Knowledge is your first limitation. In another way, knowledge is your first advantage. Knowledge can either be your fundamental limitation or your fundamental advantage. The reason is because knowledge is at the basis of everything that is working. There must be something to know. Are you getting the point?
Yes,
exposure to the knowledge and the things that make something to work will bring you to the point that you will have a superior edge. Are you getting the point? When somebody knows something, there is an air of competence around what he's doing. Is it not true?
Yes, sir.
There is an air of authority. He's not forcing it. He's just there. Because he knows. Some of the time when they tell you to teach, part of the reason you are afraid of teaching is because you don't know anything. There is a difference between being afraid of teaching. Some people will say, I don't want, and you think the reason why they are saying, I don't want, is because of the fact that they are being humble. Their head is empty. If you think it's easy that you know, I will give you this mic now to continue. Come and collect the mic. No, sometimes. Okay, let me leave that. It's after me, knowledge. Study to show yourself approved. I was telling some people in the afternoon, when I was coming back from youth service, people came back with their bags and bread and things. I came back with books. That's what I came back with. There are kinds of Ghana must go. That one that is very strong that you can use and carry yam. It's not the one for clothes. This one can't easily tear, and the height is like this. I don't know where that bag is. What filled it was books. Those days at NCCF, Ogun State, they used to go to Lagos to buy books because it's cheaper. Are you hearing me? So you will write down your titles. I spend minimum of 5,000 from my Alawi to buy books. Sometimes 8, sometimes 10,000 every month. We didn't start from the beginning, but I think I did it 8 months out of the remaining 11 months. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I bought so much books that when I came back from my youth service, for the next 2 years after my youth service, my mother is here. My siblings are here. They can bear me witness. From that, my house. How many of you go to our church? I trek from that, my house, except if my mother carried me. You have heard me say it. I trek and carry my book. Okay, you heard Pastor Emeka say it. I will go to the library. I will go there. Jambais will be asking me, where is past question? Because they thought I came there for past question. This is somebody that has finished youth service. Study to show yourself approved. If you are ashamed of studying like that, one day you will be ashamed to teach because you don't know anything. Jambais! They are asking me, which school did you put? Well, when will the result come out? This is somebody, you are not with me. That means some years before you enter university and spend 5 years in the university, came out, has done your youth service, and then you... Is there a relation between you and a jambite? Huh? And
I will carry my bag and be struggling for a place to sit at Newi Divisional Library. They thought I'm reading for anything. Where is Ruach? Where is Ruach? Is he here? That your friend now, that is now in Jos, he told you that he knew me when I used to carry my... And I told him, I didn't even know, when we were talking, I told him that a day like this will appear. Let's be studying now. Let me say the truth. I spoke by faith. I didn't see anything. I don't see anything. I didn't see anything. You better hear me. You don't need any vision. You don't need any encounter. What you are hearing is enough for you to pay the price. You are waiting for God to tell you, my son, from this week, study 3 books. You will wait and die. The Bible has already said it. Study, study. Huh? I average 3 books per week. I give myself a minimum pages I must finish per day. Of course, I'm fasting. That one is normal. Of course, I'm praying. I'm saying after I prayed and fasted. You can't join prayer and study. Once you are fasting, your brain shuts down. You are not strong. You're not strong. Develop capacity. Once you are fasting, glucose will stop, ATP will stop going to your brain. You will be reading and be seeing upside down. You are not strong. You are reading, you are distracted. You are reading, after 10 minutes, you are looking for who to greet. You can't grow like that. Huh? I will be the first to enter the library and the last to leave. And I'm wondering why they are closing by 4 and not by 6. Meanwhile, the reason why I'm telling my own story is so that you will relate. There are people that has done more and higher. But one thing is consistent. You must pay the price of knowledge. Anywhere I see book, my eye will be choking like this. Anywhere I see book, my eye will be doing like this. I don't even know how I became a prayer person. Because I'm naturally a reader. You can ask my sisters, my siblings. I read so much that I was dragging newspaper with my father. Anything readable, I'm reading. Ask them. I will collect it, hide this one, hide it, and collect his newspapers. I'm... Hey! Newspaper, novels, I have been reading since long ago. I like book. That's my own. If God told me your calling is to read book and teach, I would have it would have been easy for me. This groaning. Where did I enter groaning self? My own is book, is cerebral, is knowledge, I like. Oh my God. In primary school, I've read half of African writer series. In primary school, not secondary. By the time I entered secondary, I finished it. I went to my friend's house in primary school. The father is a medical doctor. There are books in the library. And the guy has not read any of the novels. I said, how can you have books? You are not reading it. The guy said, if you want, collect. I pack book. The reason why I vowed that I must go to Dennis Memorial Grammar School is that my classmate in primary six, came and told us that his elder brother is at DMGS, and he said that they have one story building and is a library and book from up till down. I said, it's over for me. I must go to that school. The only reason you are not getting where I'm going. The singular reason why I wanted to go to the school is because they told me there is a library there and book from up to down. Say after me, book. Say after me, book. Anytime you open book, you sleep. That Watchman Nee book, you have been on it since the year started. You have not finished it. Sometimes you will take it and hit on your head and be hoping, is there a way I can... Is there a way I can put it in my head without reading? It will not happen. It will not happen. The problem with you is that as you are wasting time, you think God is waiting for you. You think your generation is waiting for you. You cannot suddenly wake up and be competent without paying the price of knowledge.
I lock myself in the room and stay on a table. You have to beg God for the discipline. I can stay on a table for 6 hours. I will not stand up. If I stand up, stretch my back, I sit down. Stand up, visit the rest, I sit down, I sit back down. 6 hours. Sometimes 12. What am I looking for outside? The joy is in the book. There is no joy outside the book. Where are you looking for joy and excitement outside of a book? You don't like reading now. Do you like it? You don't like it. I'm like, that's why your head is like this. You are just hoping that one day God will be using you mightily as He's using Apostle Edu, the way He is using him. Even if Angel Michael come and say, I have called you as I called my son. Knowledge. For 2 years, I was visiting that library. For 2 years. The reason why I even stopped is because they shifted location. I don't know where they are till now. I don't know where they are. It was from that library I ended up in Makurdi. From that library. I kept going. When I finished reading, I will trek from there to the church I was pastoring at Okunez every day. Come back by 8 or 9. You are just hoping that things will be easy for you. I'm fasting. You may have no better fasting. You see, at all, no matter. Your head will be torn. Just more fasting, you can no more concentrate. Oh. Do like this. Oh. You are really in trouble. In big trouble. You are not going to be used soon. I don't care how many encounters you have. If God ever gives you or starts using you, your usage will be so measured that somebody else have to continue from where you stopped. Your usage will be so measured that even as God is using you, He will have to support you with so many crutches. Yes, there are many things around people's ministry that is not needed. They are crutches. And the reason why those crutches are available is because the man lacks the competence to stand. Are you getting the point? Oh?
Yes, sir.
Pay the price of knowledge. Pay the price to develop yourself. I hope you know, I'm not always teaching like this. I'm talking like this. You need to go and listen to my old message. In fact, my mother complained to me those days that she listened to one of my messages. Jesus, I have not come back to thank you. I'm coming now to thank you. You know, those are my messages. If I bring one, I will say, And my mother told me that the that is inside my message is too much. You don't know what to say. That's why you are doing I think, no. When you know enough, your problem is to stay in the one that God wanted you to say. If I tell you to teach here, if you remember it, your heart will skip. Is it not true? You don't know enough. Lift up your hand. Say, Lord, today I will begin to pay the price of knowledge. Come, bring down your hand. Pay the price of knowledge. If I tell you the books and messages I've listened to, you won't believe it. When I start, if I'm on a man, I will finish everything the man has. I'm not even studying and reading and studying it for me to use it and teach. I want to feed my soul. I want to suffocate ignorance out of my soul.
You have not suffocated ignorance away. Satan will always have a foothold in the life of a man that is ignorant. He will always have a way. I'm telling you. Part of the reason, one of the major reasons our prayer ministry in Revival Hub is this powerful is because of how much knowledge that is in the background. Though you might not easily see it. If you have not, it was when certain people, some people, all they have seen many times, initially those days, is only our prayer, because that's the emphasis that God gave us. Until after some time, some of them heard us teach, that thought that they were teachers, and they found out that they don't even know as much as they thought they knew. It's after me, knowledge. Relevant knowledge. Present truth. The way time is running, is it not now that the day broke? Now was morning, it's already night. Are you not bothered? It bothers me. The day is no more enough for me. It's no more enough. You are hoping that evening will come. Let me know. The day is no more enough. The things I want to do in a day, I have not finished it. I will pray another prayer. Help me, help my day to be bigger than it normally is. Hosea chapter 4 verse 6. I think all of you know this. Let's read it together. 1, 2, ready, go. Wait, you are asking God, use me. He has told you why he's not using you. He says, since you decided and you rejected knowledge, you are telling God to accept. He said, I've rejected you, and he told you why. What was the why? You rejected knowledge. Let's read it one more time. Everybody, 1, 2, ready, go. Choir, you are not reading. Your ignorance will affect your children. Why are you saying, is it not what the Bible said here? That's what the Bible said. He said your ignorance will finally affect, since you decided not to know anything, it will affect your children. God, let's be going. Let's be going. One day pass. The year has gone half. What do you know? Anybody that doesn't like book, I'm not sure you can be my friend. You have to love knowledge. Love it. To know. Sometimes when Doc comes to my house to do some checkup, I'll be asking him questions that doesn't concern me. All I need is for you to do. I'll be asking him, what's the meaning of this? 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 Very soon I will use it and teach. Do you know, if you don't have knowledge, if I tell you to teach and you prepare your message, I give you 1 hour, you write down messages, scriptures, in 20 minutes it will finish. You will read everything and say everything you are supposed to say in 20 minutes, and you don't know what else. You now round up and run away. If you are here, there is one of our brothers he happened to. Last year now. Are you not here? I gave him mic. He spoke. He rounded up, dropped the mic and ran away. But if we said power, that guy has power. He has fire. Knowledge.
pay the price to know. Pay the price to know. Pay the price to know. The Bible said the implication of not knowing is that you will be rejected in certain demands and usage. There are certain places you can't enter. Let me even add it. Huh? Including going to secular school. Go to school. Stop giving excuse. Stop giving excuse. I remember when I was forcing my brother, the two of you. I was forcing him. You know this guy? He vowed never to go to school. You know him now? There is nothing I did not do to this guy. If he wasn't me, the only person that can make him enter school was me. Everybody has tried. I'm sure everybody has tried. He has surrendered himself that it won't work. Until he doesn't know how much I rate knowledge. Some of you don't know how much I rate schooling and knowledge. You don't know. I will never consider you much until you are given to much book and much schooling. Many times, if you are here in Sabo or Beterama, one of my major indices of measuring your growth, because prayer power, we can't use it because normally it's not your own, it's environmental. You can't use it to measure your growth. I will move around and I'm checking people that are consistent with their book. Once we finish corporate Bible study, some people will look for one place and sleep off.
I will say, okay.
I'm not God though, so you can sleep and still be used. But you can sleep and snore and wake up and eat up. Go to Beterama, change your clothes for ushering and still be used by God. But not the one that me will supervise. The one I will supervise, you must know something. So I stayed on this, my brother, on the matter of going to school. Stayed on him. Until I told him, if you don't get admission, you will no more minister here. He thought I was joking. 1 month passed. 2 months passed. He began to cry. He went on dry fasting. Meanwhile, if he has considered this something important, he would have gone on fasting before. He was still on the fasting, his admission came out. He went to Oshun State and he was preaching. He said, utterance is like the rod of fire. I said, this is my God. Hey, the thing is with me. Hey, you cannot imagine how full of joy I was. That made my day. Actually, there is nothing that makes my day more than you people doing well. Nothing. Money is not my reward, though. When I see somebody that used to be small, suddenly he rises like a giant. I will go and press more. That's my reward. When you invest in people, it won't die in heaven. That in heaven is when you will reap the real reward. And I didn't start today. For years, from campus days, I have always been like that. Is it not true? I labored and raised people so much in my church those days that the pastor of that particular area called me and said, I'm not the pastor of the ushering unit, I'm a pastor of the church, that I should extend my capacity to disciple people to the whole church. Everywhere I go, went to youth service, everywhere. To the point I came and asked my mother one day, all these people I'm raising I will raise them and leave them. She told me one thing, that one day God will give you your own, that I should continue laboring. You don't want to read. It's over for you. It's over. Even if you are in this inquo and you sense a call on your life, go and improve your education. There is something called National Open University. You are not going there for the certificate. You are going there to expand your mental capacity. Stop saying that I'm speaking big English. Is it big English? This is normal. It's even weak. This is normal. Then question and answer you. Also, what is Igbo? Ko wa woro na ma ekwu oku.
We need to know that people are following us from everywhere in the world. Are you getting the point? We cannot use because of you and drop what we are doing. You are supposed to come up. Come up. Come up, my friend. Come up. Go to book. Find book. I don't want to tell you the personal things that I did personally. I cannot see a new world and pass. Your priesthood is incompetent without the relevant knowledge. And I need you to know that in the context of the book of Hosea chapter 4 verse 6, the emphasis of this knowledge now is actually spiritual knowledge. Spiritual knowledge. Are you getting the point? So even though I spoke about school and all that, it's actually very low in the kinda of the demand. Very low. In fact, in sometimes God can make up. Are you with me? God can make up with your inadequacy in natural knowledge with a lot of exposure. You will have a super capacity, super knowledge. There are people that didn't go to school, but they knew so much because of the fact that the Holy Spirit has the capacity to even expand your natural mind. One of the ways to know actually is just to be reading your Bible. There is a way you read your Bible so much, you will know how to speak, how to talk, and how to understand. The Holy Ghost is that powerful. Are you with me? The reason why I touched on natural knowledge is that your capacity in usability is not as if God will use you, but your capacity, you position yourself for higher measures of usage simply because you expose yourself to more education and knowledge. Are you getting the point? Except you are satisfied the way God is using you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Somebody saw where I preached in Igbo language in our church in the village and said, you didn't know I can speak in Igbo language, teaching it. That was how I started now. Those days when I was younger in secondary school, I used to correct my Igbo teacher. That was how much I knew Igbo language. Which Igbo novel didn't I read? Hey! I didn't read my book. I got A in WAEC. Why will I read book to prepare for WAEC in Igbo language? No. My mother used to call me Igbo for Obalo. When I went to DMGS, when I spoke the first time, I said, "Hey, then we will be ever." The man gave me a heavy knock. What did I do? I just came. They asked me, and say, "Sukelan." I said, "No, then Biaba, then Ahom Sukelan." You can't hide it if you are from here. One of my uncle's small daughter, the Nnewi has entered her tongue. Hey, it's like Ogiri. Her own. Hallelujah. Please pay this price. In fact, should I tell you? A man that is knowledgeable can never come to the point where he is not needed. If God doesn't need you, in fact, knowledge is so important that if God doesn't need you, Satan will need you. Sorry for saying that, but it's true. Part of your prayer is that Satan do not get to overtake our knowledgeable people. I hope you know that part of the labors of Satan many times is that people that are very knowledgeable should give themselves to false doctrine. Many of the time, if I see false teachers in the body of Christ, one of the things that I weep in a way, the reason why I weep is because this person is imagine if this person is correct. And Satan is in need of knowledgeable people too. You can't be knowledgeable and not be usable. Number two, training. Acts chapter 7 verse 22. Oh my God, we have a lot to do. Can we finish this thing this week? We are in number 3 and we have 6 more to go. I think
After this week, I will close this teaching to continue maybe next year. We have not even touched the matter of the anointing. Don't do ministry without anointing. I will still get there. Jesus never did it. As I will yet show you, the word Christ means the anointed one and his anointing. And a foolish man left to do ministry without an anointing. Meanwhile, Jesus the Christ, the summary of his title, the exact meaning of his title is what? The anointed one and his anointing. The fundamental meaning of the word anointing is not for people to... This fundamental meaning is appointment and empowerment. Because an anointing doesn't just empower, an anointing appoints. That's what people don't know. God cannot appoint you into an office without an anointing. Even if you know about an office, the proof... Why am I talking about anointing? I've not. The proof that you are there is the anointing there. So when a man comes and said he is the Christ, we will look for the anointing. It is the anointing that proves that. And the anointing will make the man to function, live, and behave in a certain way. I will get there. You can be called to the prophetic office. The anointing has not come. If you ever function in it, you will make mistake. You will err. You will be so weak, so afflicted. One of the easiest ways to die fast as a minister is to operate outside of the anointing of your office. The anointing is not just an empowerment, it's a covering too. There are some things that we teach and do is because we are anointed. No, when I say we are anointed, people think it's power. No, it's not power. Anointed means we are appointed and we are anointing is an instrument of heavenly legislation to approve a man to stand in an office. The Bible said Jesus, a man approved of God, and he gave the instrument with which he was approved. I'm going to get there. This year, God enabling me, I will teach you people on the anointing. Nobody ever was used by God to do anything without an anointing. Never. Including the people that will come and tell you, don't talk about anointing, it's character. They are teaching you about character. And you believed. The reason why you believe is that is an anointing. Is the teaching anointing. I will show you types of anointing. Is the teaching anointing they made them to teach you, and you heard and believed. There is such a thing as the teaching anointing. Even though they said it's only teaching, that teaching needs an anointing. If you ever taught without the teaching anointing, it will not produce God's result. It takes an anointing to produce the result of God. Anything you produce for God without an anointing is in the flesh. God must empower you. Oh my God, Jesus, help us. Let the day be... Okay, so the second one is training. Say after me, training. That is under skills and what? Under skills and competence. The first one is what? Knowledge. The second one is what? Let's read this together. 1, 2, ready, go. When Moses came and told God, I cannot speak, what does he mean? Don't think that Moses can't speak. Oh. It was because he came to the end of himself. That was why he made that utterance. Not because he doesn't have vocal power. You can't stand in the courts of Pharaoh without being the best of the best. To stand before kings in those days, your competence and training will be the highest. These are the men that work with the princes. They are not ordinary men. Do you know the reason why Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego were chosen? They were not chosen from the common ranks. They were chosen from the well-looking. In those days, it is not normal to win a war and kill the princes. You gather them and make them part of the people that serve in your courts. I hope you know. That's the way they do it.
You must be goodly. Your look must be goodly. You must be knowledgeable. Huh? You must be well trained in war, in skills, in wisdom. The Bible said that Moses was learned in all the wisdom of Egyptians. You don't understand what I'm saying, no? One of the major reasons Moses was called into that ministry is that he has learned government from Egypt. You are not getting the point. He learned government because this man will be the first king of Israel. If I ask you who is the first king of Israel now, you will say Saul. Is it Saul? Who is the first king of Israel? Huh? Prove it. Deuteronomy chapter 33. And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, what? Blessed the children of Israel before his death. Verse 2. And he said, the Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000 of his saints from his right hand, went a fiery law for them. Yea, he loved the people, and all his saints are in thy hand, and they sat down at thy feet. Everyone shall receive of thy words. Verse 4. Moses commanded us a law, even the inheritance of the congregation of Jacob. And what, let's read this part together. 1, 2, ready, go. If you have another translation, show us the meaning of that word, Jeshurun. There's another word for Jeshurun there. Or if you have an electronic Bible, click it. Do you have another translation? Amplify. Read it. Let me hear. Just stand and read it because of time. No. Give me another scripture. Give me another scripture. My God, my God, my God, my God, my God, my God. The Lord became king in Israel when the leaders of the tribe. What the scripture is trying to say here is that God represented through Moses the first kingship in Israel. And the reason why Moses is able to do that business is simply because in Egypt he learned how to govern. How does a man rule? How many people came out of Egypt? Just the men. How many? To pastor 100 people. You have pastored before. Raise your hand. You are a pastor somewhere. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Raise your hand now. To pastor people is wahala. And Moses was told to pastor, govern, lead, feed 6 million people, excluding women. How and children, how did he learn to organize them? Where did he learn it? Show me my acts. The Bible said he was trained in the wisdom of Egypt. God intentionally allowed him to learn it. He will still come back to speak to king, the Pharaoh. He has to know the courtroom protocol and behavior. He already knows how to approach Pharaoh. Say after me, training. Say after me, training. There are some training, if you don't receive, you will not be qualified for certain calling. It's only normal. You will not be used for certain things. The more you train yourself, the more you are open. Let's read this place together one more time. 1, 2, ready, go. Let's read it one more time. Daniel chapter 9, 1 to 3. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. Verse 2. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, what? This is a man that is about to enter into the intercessory ministry. What kick-started his intercessory ministry is books. The Bible said, I, Daniel, what? Understood by the books. Whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish the 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. The man went to school. As he was going to school, the more he was gaining training, he now saw how bad things have become. It equipped him to be able to execute on behalf of God. It is common knowledge that the more you are trained, the more you are qualified, the more God can use you. You run away from training, you will not be able to be used. The last two things on this matter, because of time, another one is practice confers competence. The next one is practice, 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 practice. It's a matter of fact. I think in the matter of skill and competence, the most important thing is practice. Because what you can't practice, you don't actually know. What you can't practice, you don't actually know. What you actually knew, what you actually know is what you can practice. You can't practice it, you don't actually know it. You can know about healing. Do you know how many books I read about healing before the first person was healed? The day the first person was healed, I did not read any book. Even though it contributed anyway, but I read those days, I will read books, and the person will say, pray like this, do like this, I did it, nothing happened. I kept praying for the sick, almost 5 years before the first person was healed. I could have stopped, but I kept practicing. Kept practicing. Kept practicing. Are you getting the point? We got to this place because of practice. When my sister was leading prayer, one of the things that was going through my mind is the word practice. If you compare her prayer before and now, you will see the difference. She has weight in her prayer. I know prayer small. Not much. A dog. Very small. But I know. When you pray, I check your texture. I use my own heart to do reading. I will check. This one has this one. He has this one. He doesn't have this one. He doesn't have this one. So next time, if you are praying and I want to help you, I will tell you, add this. Don't call prayer point. Just pray for 20 minutes. It is not easy for you to lead prayer and make people hear to pray, and you did not have sound for 15 minutes. Try it. I saw the way she opened. The hammer hit me 3 times. I came out from my office. It's hammer. I know her prayer last year. It was just no. Something else. There is a weight that entered now. Don't stay one place. Practice till you become stronger in prayer. It's not one layer. There is a weight. When you enter, you can break things in few minutes. It means you have practiced and practiced and practiced to the point that sometimes you pray when you are not making progress. I'm using prayer because that's what we can commonly relate with. It is the same thing in healing. The same thing in manifesting spiritual gifts. Some of you have prophetic gifts. And the way it is 3 years ago, that's the way it is till now. When your own prophecy wants to move you, you say, Kai. I don't. Before you will prophesy, you must fall on the ground. There is something urgent to do. You will now fall on the ground and say, we'll be waiting for the person. She will now stop. And then we'll say, let's do another thing. He said, Well, it's not bad. It's not bad to start that way. If I catch you 2 years later and you are still doing for me, no now. Improve. That's one thing. That's one aspect in prophetic. And that thing in prophetic is that there are people, when they start their prophetic, they say, I see a pot with two black things on it. What's that now? That thing can't help anybody. As we are praying, I see two birds, they flew and passed. As we were praying, I saw a man like this, and his eyes was red. As we were praying, I saw flag. What was that? Your prophetic need to improve. You notice that when you kept practicing, your prophetic will improve. Including flowing in the anointing. If you keep practicing, it improves. Somebody posted, who even posted that? Is it Harry? Harry posted the video of my crusade in Banawa 5 years ago. It was open air crusade. If I tell you how long it took me to prepare for that, I came, I didn't eat in the night. Because I was trying to practice that thing I said when I started. I didn't eat in the night. I didn't eat in the morning. They brought in dummy, brought everything I did. I was praying, worshiping, studying. When I came out in the evening, I wore my jacket. Hey. I know you like this kind of thing. It was in that meeting that professors from Kaduna State University, they were dragging my jacket. It was that time I almost thought I have arrived in ministry. You saw where I waved it in the crowd now. They still saw the video. It's in the query side group. The guys, they brought the video. Now, if you compare that and now, you will see it's the same thing. But by practice, you will notice that we have improved. We gathered a lot of skill. A lot of things we gathered along the way. That is, of course, there is a matter of authority and all that. But there is also skill. For example, I hope you know, it's not all the time you can do that. You have to be skilled enough to measure the density of the glory of God that is available. So that you know if you say touch, it will happen. If the density is not strong enough, you come and say, take it! They will be looking at you. What do you say? Is it bonds? Is it? Should we take? What are we supposed to take? The density can be so much. You can tell people, raise your hand here. In the name of Jesus Christ, Son of God. Touch! And then, another time, the density is not strong enough. You are laying hands. It's skills. You have to learn it. That's what I'm trying to teach you. It makes you more qualified to be sent on certain assignments. Sometimes, if I want to flow in the Spirit, I'll be checking which one is the Holy Ghost. One, you know, there are sometimes if I lay hands, nothing will happen. If I speak, something will happen. And we know it's a matter of authority. Sometimes, it's hands. You speak, nothing is happening. You lay hands. Are you not watching Benny Hinn? Before he will wave his jacket, he will lay hands on 10 people. He will confirm that the anointing is present. You don't confirm anything. Not because it happened yesterday, you came out today to do the same thing. No, you have to check. Where is the Holy Ghost? How is he planning to move? These are skills. It increases your usability. Are you getting the point? Sometimes when I teach a minute, don't just be hearing things, be checking the way I'm doing it. That's what I noticed, that somebody like Joshua is now doing. He doesn't have time. His own is a loss. Huh? Anything I say, he will just go and say, the way I did it, he will just go and do it. He said, let me see if it will work. And then he will do it, it will work. Those things are, they are skills. Huh? Sometimes you come in a meeting, let me make sure you develop skills. If not, God can be present and nothing will happen. Because you don't have the skills to open the gates of the flow of the Spirit. You can sense God very strongly. You lay hands on people, do things, nothing will happen. But you know, you can vow with your life that God wants to do something. But you don't know how to release the Spirit. Is it God's fault? Excuse. So, let me show you one more thing. Okay, the last one is exposure, incompetence, exposure. You know, you can be thinking you are good enough until you meet us in Revival Hub. There are people that actually thought they can pray. They are prayer giants in their church. Until they came to Revival Hub, no prayer point, 3 hours passed. The person said, What did I bring myself into? Some people, it happened in our 24 hours. Like we're having another 24 hours on the 12th. Those days I will lock this door. It's late. The things you hear about happens. We actually lock the gate downstairs. I did not bring you. You brought yourself. But before you go, you will take my permission. The coming, you came by yourself. But the going. Anyway, part of the reason we began to lock the gates is because of security anyway. But it served two purposes. Amen. Served me exposure. There are certain group of people you will be exposed to. You will find out that what you have been thinking is high is not, you know. There are pastors that is gingering their members that they are not praying, forming that they are prayer giants. When they listen to us, they change topic. The reason why they change topic is that you can't be teaching about prayer when some of your church members are exposed to what we are doing here. Are you getting the point? They are exposed to it. It will mean that you too, we need to increase your measure. Exposure will show you exactly your level. You can be a champion, but you are a local champion. You are a village champion. They're telling you, Chimwe, woman of God, that we have not seen anybody like you. Kai, is there anybody on earth like you? You can come to Revival Hub. Nobody has seen your face. Nobody is laboring. You are doing well or you are good, but there are many people like that. And the challenge with that kind of thing, or rather the good thing about that kind of thing, is that you'll be properly challenged. Staying around a place, nobody challenges you, nobody does anything, but you come here and you are seeing my sister. Oh, why you, baby? Obute Mike. Hebrew Yetua. Dowe. If I give you that mic, after 5 minutes, who may be able, your strength will cut. Some of you don't know. Huh? You see men littered everywhere. Bulldozer, Mr. Holy Ghost, Victor, Dennis, Lotana, all kinds of men. Men are digging. Men are pressing. When you see this kind of conclave, and you now go back to your location, and you see pastors discussing nonsense, you will be tired. You will be tired. Why? It is because you have finally been exposed to the real thing. The way they will be speaking about certain things, it will seem as if it's not possible. But you, by exposure, know that what is a big thing to them is a normal lifestyle somewhere else. They will come where, they will come in meeting and be discussing how they prayed for 2 hours. 2 hours that the least of us use for breakfast. Do you know that there are some people that say, you need to pray for an hour. You need to pray. I pray for 2 hours and I study for another 2 hours and then I fast. Omo. That was an admission letter. This kind of thing is admission letter in Sabo. When you write it for like 3 months, we consider whether we will admit you. Bow down your heads. Ask God, give me the grace to pay the price. Tell God, I've seen that I'm the one limiting myself. You are not. God is never the problem. You are always the problem. The day you admit that God is not the one at fault, that you are the one that has not met up to what it takes, that day that you have brutally told yourself the truth, you will begin to make progress. If you keep blaming people, blaming your circumstance, blaming your surrounding, blaming God, blaming Satan, blaming your mother, blaming your father, blaming your pastor, you are not going to go anywhere. Take responsibility, my friend. Pray for the next 1 minute. Tell God, tell him from today I'm taking responsibility. I will pay the price. I will yield. I will surrender. Oh my God. Oh my God. Determination, decision. Determination, decision. Desperation. These are the words that should be boiling in your heart. All these complaints, all these excuses. Banish complaints from your life. Banish excuses from your life. Never live a life of entitlement, a life of sentiment, a life of excuses, complaints. You will never go anywhere. Take responsibility for the next layer, next level of God's usage in your life. And see God do wonders through you. There are mantles hanging everywhere. Mantles, mantles. Mantles have been given for the church. We need men that will develop the weight and form, the morphine that can enter it and carry it. In Jesus' mighty name.
So believe God's word came to you with accuracy and power. To connect with the ministry of God's servant, Apostle Edu Dechukwu, with unlimited access to life transforming messages, visit www.revivalhubinternational.org. Follow us on all social media platforms at Revival Hub International. For inquiries and partnership, email us at revivalhubglobal@gmail.com.